Father, we praise you. We thank you for this Resurrection Sunday, Lord. We know where you are. You're seated at the right hand of God, and you have purged our sins forever and ever and ever and ever. And Lord God, we're thankful for every person listening live, those in the overflow area, those in the chapel, and those that are visiting here for the very first time. Lord, it is my humble prayer to you this morning that not one person who walks out of this chapel through any door walks out unsaved. That every person here today, Lord, they will come to Christ if they don't know you. We give you praise. Help me, oh God, to teach your word faithfully and accurately in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning with me to John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'll be there in about 30 or 40 minutes, if that's okay. You know, this is the oldest celebration in Christianity. Amen? Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. The tomb is empty, but that has been for 2,000 years. Hell and sin and the grave and death, all of that has been defeated. You know, please allow me, before we get into the Gospel of John this morning, to share just a few things on this April Fool's Day. This is April Fool's, isn't it? I don't know if you caught the article in the paper yesterday from, I'll not say what the name of the church, but they said, resurrection occurs on April Fool's. And they went, meaning that they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the resurrection. How sad. They must be sad, you see. You see what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. But I tell you, those who on this April Fool's Day, let me just state to them publicly that those who think that are listening live, maybe you're in the chapel here, and I know that you couldn't be here if you believe this, that the resurrection was a hoax. We know it's not a hoax. We know all those silly theories, and I don't have time to go into all of them. You know what I'm saying. They went to the wrong tomb. Someone stole the body of Jesus. They had a vision. I have to always say, no, that was the 60s. You know what I mean? No. Or the swoon theory. You know, Jesus just passed out, but then he woke back up. You know, and then, of course, there's the one that's always the silliest, the case of a mistaken identity. The disciples saw someone that they thought was Jesus, but he really wasn't Jesus. I have a word for those this morning and across the world. Listen, those who believe that Jesus did not rise from the dead, I want you to say this new word, not a new word, but maybe an old word that you have forgotten about on this April Fool's Day, and that word is bamboozled. Say that with me. Bamboozled. Very important word. Let me give you the definition. It means you've been duped, you've been buffaloed, you've been hoodwinked, played the fool. You've been caused to believe what is untrue. You have been cheated. You have been bamboozled. Now, may I use that in a sentence before we go into our sermon this morning? Did someone say no? And I would like to go all the way back to when I was 5 years old, there with my older brother, who is now departed and is with the Lord. And he was seven years older than I. I was about five, and I was finding, believe it or not, Easter egg candy all over the house. We lived on a farm out in the country. And believe it or not, there was a little bunny rabbit in my house. There was a little bunny rabbit in my house. A little cottontail, yes. And so, I mean, I was petting it. It became my friend. And you're not going to believe this, but my mother had been planting candy Easter eggs all over the house. I thought the rabbit was bringing it to me. So here's what my brother did. He grabbed that rabbit, and he looked at me, and this is what he said. I wrote it down. Billy, you have been bamboozled. There ain't no Easter bunny. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah, against the wall. Rabbits don't rise from the dead. And then you know what he did? We lived in the country. We walked outside. He had that little cottontail that had delivered all that candy to me. And he threw that rabbit as far as the eye could see. And then all of a sudden he started singing, "There goes Peter Cottontail. Hopping down the bunny trail." Bamboozled is a good word for this day. April Fools. Because we are not bamboozled, amen? We're not duped, we're not hoodwinked. Listen, the resurrection as we know it is the cornerstone of Christianity, and without the resurrection, there is no such thing as Christianity, amen? But we know that Jesus is risen from the dead. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:13, let me read it to you. Paul writes, he says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. In other words, we've been bamboozled. He says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty or literally useless, and our faith is also empty because we only have faith in a dead man, not a risen Savior. And Paul says, and yes, we are found also false witnesses of God. In other words, liars, deceivers. If Christ is not risen from the dead, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he, if he didn't raise up, in fact, if the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. In other words, it's a fairy tale. It is a myth. That means that every Christian who's proclaimed the name of the Lord, generation after generation, we have all been bamboozled. And not only that, we are bamboozling others as we tell them something that is not true. The cross of Christ is absolutely meaningless without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, loved one, Peter, Paul, James, all the great apostles, think of Bartholomew and all the rest, all got together and agreed to die for a lie. They were all crucified. There's no way. Paul goes on, he says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And then also those who have died and fallen asleep in Christ, they've also perished, meaning there's no hope beyond the grave. And if this life we have hope in Christ, or only if we have hope in Christ, we are of all men, meaning all men everywhere on this planet, in every generation, we are the most pitiable. In other words, Paul says, listen, Christians deserve more pity, more sympathy than anyone else on earth. And why would that be? Because if Jesus is not risen from the dead, we have all been bamboozled. Amen? That is the key word. That means there's no good news. There's only bad news. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, I'm telling you what, he played the greatest April Fools on the entire world. He is the greatest con that ever lived upon this planet. But you know what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but we know, but now Christ has risen from the dead. Amen? We know that our Lord is alive. And listen to me carefully. The Bible is very clear in Hebrews 9:12. It tells us this, with his own blood, after his resurrection, with his own blood, after the ascension, it says he entered the most holy place once and for all. Never again does he have to do this. Having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal, not a year, not a hope I'm going to make it. You, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have been eternally saved, meaning forever and ever and ever. Why? Because Jesus died, he took our sins, and he rose from the dead. Amen? It says in Hebrews 9:24 that he is now seated in heaven itself to appear before God, in the presence of God, for us. He is our great advocate, amen? And Jesus Christ, our Lord, he has never, ever lost one case, never. With all that being said, you should be at John chapter 20 this morning. Mary Magdalene, this story of her coming to the empty tomb is only recorded by John in his gospel, beginning in verse 1. And now the first day of the week, now we know that that's Sunday, okay? The day of new beginnings. It says that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know, we, now she's speaking now, if we read the other gospels, like for example, Mark's gospel, we would know that Salome was there, and Mary, the mother of James, was there, the other women, and so forth. And it says, we do not know where they have laid him. Mary Magdalene, of whom the Lord cast out seven demons. Think about that. Here she is at the tomb. Man, that was a woman who was under the control of the demonic and no longer, because Jesus set her free. Amen. This chapter, these verses are filled, loved one, with emotion. Mary Magdalene, she was the first at the cross. She was also at the burial. She was also the first person at the empty tomb. Mary is in shock because she sees the stone has been rolled away. What does that tell us? It tells us that Mary was not looking for the living Jesus. She was looking for a dead Jesus. She just wanted to finish anointing his body with the herbs and the spices and so forth. Listen to me. Mary came not with great faith in the resurrection, but she came in great faith for the one that she loved. Amen? Jesus Christ. And you know what? I understand. When's the last time you've gone to Greenwood Cemetery in Fort Worth and expected to find anybody out there living? Hello? No. And it says, and therefore Peter, look what he did. He went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together. Man, they're excited. And the other disciple outran Peter, meaning John, and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. In other words, he was inspecting it. And it says, yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter, though, he came following him. He went into the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there. And then he saw the handkerchief, the face cloth, if you will. But look at it now, that had been around Jesus' head, but it was not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Next Sunday, I'm going to tell you what that means, but not this Sunday. You know, listen, an empty tomb, we have the empty clothes, the grave clothes. In other words, they saw that it was just a shell, if you will, like a cocoon. Remember that Nicodemus they came when they got the body of Jesus. Remember that they put 100 pounds of aloes and myrrh on him to embalm or to cover his body with the linen. So that's a tremendous amount of weight. And so Jesus just literally had passed right through that, if you will. And it says, and then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, he went in also, and he saw and believed. Isn't it interesting that John is the first one to believe in the resurrection of Jesus without any evidence? It says that he saw the linen cloths and so forth, that means he perceived that Jesus had literally rose from the dead. And it says, for that they had not known or understood the scripture that Jesus must rise again from the dead. It's amazing that they didn't know that, isn't it? Jesus told them over and over and over. But you know who knew it? Remember who? The religious rulers. They went to Pilate and they said, listen, you know, put a seal upon that stone, upon that tomb, and set some guards out there because we heard what he said. Verse 10. And then the disciples went away again into their own homes, but Mary, she stood out the tomb and she was literally had unrestrained sobbing. Her heart was broken. And as she wept, she stooped down, she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. You know, every time I read that, does that remind you of something? The mercy seat of God? And there are the cherubims on each side? That's what this reminds me of. And watch this now. And it says that these angels, you know, where the body had lain. And then they said to Mary, woman, why are you weeping? And I could add to scripture and just say, why are you bamboozled? Who's deceived you to believe something that is true, but yet you're believing it to be untrue? This is not a time to weep. This is a time to rejoice. Amen? Listen, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is not about death, loved one. It's about living. It's about life eternal. Amen? And so they said, why are you doing that? Why are you weeping? And she said, she said to the angels, listen, she said, because they've taken away, and look how personal it becomes, my Lord. The one that I love, taking away my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him. You know, there is Mary. Look at her. Early in the morning, the stone is rolled away. Angels are talking to her, and she's not even giving them the time of day. Listen, had that happened to you or me, we would be making an appointment right now on Daystar with Joni Lamb or whatever. I forget their names. Is that true? We would already be chapter one into our new book. No, it didn't faze Mary at all. But here's the problem. Not one time did it enter into Mary's mind that Jesus really was alive. And now when she had said this, she turned around and look who she saw. She saw Jesus standing there and did not know, or literally she didn't recognize that it was Jesus. I always have to ask myself, why? What was it? Why did she not? I mean, how different was he now in his glorified body? Was that it? I'll tell you why I think she didn't recognize him. I think because she didn't expect Jesus to be there. I think it was totally unbelief. Unbelief can't see anything. Amen? And it says, so Mary, she just thought Jesus did. She wasn't expecting to see Jesus. She just wanted his body. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? You know, this is so pregnant with meaning. In other words, Jesus is standing right next to Mary. You see, Mary didn't understand, but she thought that the Lord was gone, that he was dead, that she would never see him again. You know what Mary didn't really understand? Jesus said, why are you weeping? You'll never be without me again. One step of your life, whether you're sleeping, whether you're slumbering, I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen? And I said, there's no, oh, Mary, why are you weeping? And loved one, listen to me. Ladies, listen to me carefully. You remember, you know, when we think of the upper room, we think of the apostles being in the upper room with 120, all filled with the Holy Spirit and so forth, endued with power from upon high. But, you know, the Bible tells us that the women were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and they were all baptized or endued with power from upon high. Why were the women endued with power on that day on Pentecost? So they could be a good cook? Better dishwasher? No. So they could win the world to Christ Jesus. Amen? Ladies, don't ever, ever forget that. Jesus said, woman, why are you weeping on that resurrection morning? And what a great question that every person should ask. Jesus said, whom are you looking for? Whom are you seeking in this life? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. You know, we have to ask ourselves when we read that, what kind of love is this? Nothing mattered to Mary more than Jesus Christ, her Lord. Amen? You have to just, don't you think that maybe Jesus, when Mary said that, he's looking right at her, she doesn't recognize him? You think that just maybe it was breaking the heart of Jesus? Oh, Mary, you understand? Listen, I love it. She says, just tell me where his body is. I'm going to take him away. And you work out at Planet Fitness, or I mean, hello? Well, you know, a little woman? No, no, no. Listen, she believed Jesus dead, and look what Jesus did with one word. He said to her, Mary, and she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. In other words, I'm not going away yet, Mary. Just wait. Don't cling to me. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. He says, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Now, that's New Testament covenant talk. That's not Old Testament talk, loved one. And then Mary Magdalene came, and she told the disciples that she had been seeing the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. You know, if you read the Gospel of Mark, it'll tell you that when she went to the disciples and told them all that happened, that she had seen the Lord, do you remember what they did? Did they believe? No. They were bamboozled, if you will. They were, you know, Jesus, oh no. See, Mary knew Jesus' voice, and with that one word, Mary, guess what? Mary had a brand new beginning, and maybe that's what you're looking for this morning. You know, the Bible says in John 10:3, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger." Oh, Mary heard the voice of the Lord, and she was indeed changed forever. Now listen, a woman, and women were not respected back then, especially the testimony of a woman. It was considered a joke. But Mary, loved one, listen, the first to the tomb, the first to hear the voice of Jesus, the first to see the risen Lord alive, the very first to touch him, the very first person that was commissioned by our Lord, and not only that, the first person to tell others that he was risen from the dead. I believe that is the greatest wisdom I've ever seen in the Word of God. It is great wisdom. If you want to spread the news, tell a woman. Amen? And that's exactly what she did. Now watch this, verse 19. "And then the same evening," the same day, Sunday evening, "being the first day of the week," it says, "when the doors were shut," or locked, if you will, bolted, "where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst and said unto them, 'Peace be to you, peace be with you.' And when he had said this," look what he did, "he showed them his hands," he showed them his side. "They even remained with our Lord in his glorified body." The other gospel says, "you can see the nail prints even in his feet." And Jesus said there, he said, "Then the disciples, they were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, 'Peace to you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Go to verse 24 with me. "And now Thomas, called the twin," one of the 12, "was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to them," or literally kept saying to him, "'Oh, we've seen the Lord.' And so he said to them, 'Well, unless I see," Thomas says, "'his hands, the print of the nails, and literally, not just put, shove my finger into the print of his nails and shove my hand into his side, I will not believe,'" meaning I'll not believe, "that Jesus has risen from the dead." You know, a lot of people give Thomas a bad rap. I don't. He said, listen, he was what anyone would say. He says, listen, "unless I see, unless I touch." Do you know in the Greek, which takes away this language that we read, it doesn't give us the full implication of what he's saying. It's a double negative in the Greek. Thomas is saying, "I'm telling you, I will never, no, never, no, never, unless I can see him, unless I can touch him, unless I can put my finger in his side, in the nail prints of his hand, I'll never believe." Now listen, why in the world would Thomas be doing that? I tell you why. Thomas is saying, listen, boys, I have followed with you and followed Jesus for 3 long years. I've lost now everything because I followed Jesus. They have excommunicated me from the synagogue. My family will have nothing to do with me. I have no one that will even give me a job or any food at all. I am an outcast. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Jesus, you failed me. There's a lot of Christians today that think Jesus has failed them. He has never failed you. He has never failed me. No matter the circumstance, no matter what we're going through in our life, no matter the condition, Jesus never fails the sheep. Amen? No, never, oh, never. Now listen, why did he do that? Why was Thomas like that? Listen, he was bamboozled, man. He took what was true and considered it to be untrue. And look what happened 8 days later. Now listen carefully. 8 is in the Hebrew, in the Greek, is the number of a new beginning. So watch what happens 8 days later. It says his disciples were again inside. And now this time, though, Thomas is with them. And Jesus came through the doors being shut. They're all locked up again. And he stood in the midst and he said, "Peace to you." Now, we're not told, did he walk through the wall? Did he just appear? We have no idea. But he materialized some way, and they were not expecting it. Now, listen carefully. Nothing can shut Jesus out. Nothing can shut Jesus out in this universe except one thing. Isn't that amazing that man has the ability to literally shut God out of their lives? And there's only one thing that God cannot enter into, and that is a heart that refuses to believe in Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. How sad that is. And he said unto Thomas, "Thomas, here, come here, man. Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to Jesus, watch this now, my Lord, it's personal. He believed, my Lord, my God. Do you know what? Thomas is the only one, that was the first one who said that, except for the prophets of old in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Oh, listen, no, that's an incredible, noble confession. However, it's not the highest form of faith. The highest form of faith is without seeing, without any evidence of seeing. Amen? Jesus said, watch now, Thomas. He said, listen, because you've seen me, you've believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Jesus just pronounced a divine blessing on all those who would believe in him, yet have never seen him. And we have to ask ourselves why. Because Jesus honors faith above sight of himself. Are you listening to me? Yes. Listen, we cannot, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible. It's not difficult. It's impossible to please him. For we must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk not by sight. The evidence is, oh, there's Jesus, now I believe. No, we walk by faith. Well, Bill, have you seen Jesus? No. Well, how do you know he's real? He changed my life. He lives in my heart. I hear his voice. He leads me. He guides me. His word is alive. His word works. I've seen miracles and healings and deliverances. Jesus is alive. He's here with us this very moment. Do you understand? Amen. He is with us right now. Listen, I'll tell you though, there are times in Christians' lives, all of us, that like Thomas, and I'm going to talk about this next Sunday, we need the here-ness and the now-ness of God. We need the Lord to say, you know what? I'm at a station in my life. I'm at a place in my walk. I need you to be real to me all over again. And you know what I have found in my life and in the Word of God? That Jesus comes to faithless people that are faltering in their faith to make them believe again. God is so good. And that's what he's doing right there to Thomas. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, talking about Jesus, whom having not seen, it says, we love him. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with inexpressible and full of joy. See, our love for the Lord, I know he's here. I know he's with us. I know that he'll never leave us. I know that he'll never forsake us. I know that the risen Savior is right here. He knows each and every one of you. He doesn't see a crowd. He sees only individuals. And he knows every person, born again or not, intimately. He knows everything about you. There's no one like our Lord. Today is April Fool's Day. You know what? I don't know if the atheists have a holiday. However, if they did, this should be their holiday. Amen? And let me tell you why. Because Psalm 14:1 says this, the fool has said in his heart, the fool, Nabal, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God says, they are corruptible. They are abominable. They are none that doeth good, saith the Lord. Listen, loved one, I'll tell you something. If you run across people, maybe you're here this morning, and you know what? Maybe you've said, I don't believe in the Lord with your mouth. I've said that before I was saved. I don't believe in God. I believe that I guess I came from a monkey. I don't know how I got here. I don't know what life is about. I don't know why I'm hurting. I don't know why I make horrible decisions. I don't know why I can't get out of this rut that I'm living in. I don't know why I run from this to that to try to make myself happy. I didn't understand any of those things. It's one thing for someone to say that's lost, that doesn't know Christ Jesus as Lord. I don't believe in God. But whenever a person says, not here, but here, when it translates all the way from your human mind into the inner part of a person when the fool has said in his, not his mouth, but in his heart, there is no God. Loved one, listen to me. That person has been bamboozled. That person is an atheist. Many of you know the name Stephen Hawking, the renowned physicist who died. It's interesting that he was his funeral service was in a church. And they even, the scripture reading, believe it or not, was Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, unbelievable. You know, this Stephen Hawking, you know, who's the author of The Grand Design, he was being interviewed in El Mundo magazine and on TV because in it, they were asking him, so are you a believer? And he said to them, he said, listen, what I meant by what I was explaining in my book is this, that we would know the mind of God, what the mind of God is. We would know everything that God would know if there were a God, which there isn't a God because I am an atheist. May I tell you something? That 76-year-old man, intelligent as he was, he's no longer an atheist. Do you understand? He has met God. And because of what he has done in his life, no matter how grand that he was, even though he's going to be buried right next to Isaac Newton, loved one, listen to me. He was bamboozled. I mean, totally bamboozled. He's going to be separated from God for all eternity. One of the most brilliant minds on this planet. Think about that. And yet, he was duped. He was hoodwinked. He took a lie and believed it to be true. And you say, well, Bill, why was he a fool? The reason he was a fool is because when he said there is no God in his heart, he was basing that claim, loved one, on his limited knowledge. Every person born has limited knowledge, no matter how brilliant they are. Amen? He didn't have the knowledge. Listen, you know who the biggest fool of all time, the greatest fool in the history of the world is? His name is the devil. And you know what? You don't tell you how stupid he is? He got kicked out of heaven. You got to be really messed up to get kicked out of heaven. Amen? The Bible says in John 8:44, he is the father of all lies. He is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, meaning that he spiritually, if you will, because of his lies, killed Adam and Eve spiritually in the Garden of Eden. He lives off sin. He loves sin. That's what the devil does. He doesn't stand in the truth. The Bible says that there's no truth in him, and when he speaks a lie because he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar, and he's the father of it. In other words, the father of every falsehood, every lie that has ever been told. He's always been the one in back of that. Listen to me now. The devil is the greatest bamboozler that has ever lived. He's the great enemy of faith. He's the great enemy of truth. He's the father of all unbelief. He will do anything to keep a person from trusting Jesus Christ. Anything. He will do anything in his power. He's a murderer. He murders what's good. He murders what love really is. The Bible tells us that he is the author of death. He's the author of death for the whole human race. He's the behind every graveyard that has ever existed and will exist on this planet. And you know what this bamboozler does? He still convinces people today in the 21st century with all of our intelligence. He still convinces people that Jesus is not real, that the Bible is a joke, that there's no heaven, that there's no hell. Listen to me. If you don't know Christ Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, you know what? You've been bamboozled. I say that with love. You've been bamboozled. You've been duped. You've been buffaloed. You've been caused to believe what is untrue. Jesus came, it says in John 10:10, said, Jesus, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said in John 8:32, my life scripture there on the beach, that when that hippie led me to the Lord, he said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus came. He was born. He died upon the tree, upon the cross. Why? To defeat the devil, the one who had the power over death. To taste death for every person so we would not have to taste it. To remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. Friday, this Good Friday, we call it Good Friday. What did man do? Man did their worst that they could do. They literally beat God. Think about that. They beat God, the God-man. They ripped out his beard. They spit upon his face. They took the lictor's lash and ripped his back to pieces. They nailed him to a cross. And darkness covered the face of the earth from noon to three while Jesus was being made the sin of the world for you and for me. No wonder he cried out, "Not my Father, why have you forsaken me?" But he cried out the cry of an orphan, the cry of a sinner, what we would have cried, "My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me?" You see, Jesus was forsaken so we would never be forsaken. So we would never be left alone. Oh, loved one, listen. He tasted death for each and every one of us. God loves us so much that instead of punishing you for sin, punishing me for my sins, iniquities, and transgressions, God punished himself. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," meaning God, and Jesus, "who knew no sin, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of Christ in God." Loved one, listen. That's what the resurrection is all about. Jesus died in your place, rose again for you to give you and every person a new beginning. Boy, you know, it's amazing that here we are on April Fool's Day, and you know, that's why that word bamboozled came into my heart. Who wants to be bamboozled? I mean, listen, every person that has ever been born, loved one, listen to me. All of us, if you don't know Christ, listen carefully. If you do know Christ, listen carefully. We will all be resurrected. Do you understand? We're all going to be resurrected. Death is not the end. Every person that has ever been born, they're going to live eternally someplace, somewhere. It says in Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and then come the judgment." And there's no escape from that judgment. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "In Adam," oh, I don't want to be in Adam. Thank God I'm not. "In Adam all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive." Now listen, loved one, for 24, 25 years, I could not help being in Adam. Do you understand? Because I was just in the federal head of the human race who blew it for all of us. But I don't have to stay in Adam, amen? And I received Christ, and guess what? I was translated out of the Adams family. Praise God for that. It is over with. Loved one, listen. Stephen Hawking at his funeral, you know, was yesterday in one of the newspapers, The Guardian, in an interview. They asked him about what happens. He says, "What do you believe happens when people die?" He told The Guardian this. He says, "Well, that while he wasn't afraid of death," he says, "I regard the brain as a computer, which will not stop working or will stop working when its components fail." He said, "There's no heaven, there is no afterlife for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people who are afraid of the dark." Loved one, listen to me. He knows now what outer darkness really is. Do you understand? Jesus coined that word. I don't know what that means. I don't want to know what it means. I don't want to even think about those who have experienced whatever outer darkness is. Are those words chains of darkness? In darkness that can be felt for all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, that person, as brilliant as he was, I'm not in any way criticizing that poor man. But I'll tell you, the smartest man, one of the smartest men probably has ever lived. Loved one, listen to me. He was bamboozled. He was duped. He was hoodwinked. Oh, listen, it is a dreadful thing to live again after you die when you think that you wouldn't. To close your eyes in death and think that's it. And then reality sets in. But you know what? If you're here and you may be saying, well, Bill, you know, I'm visiting, or, you know, I was invited, I just can't wait for you to finish, man. I want out of here. I understand that. Because you're probably saying, like the devil's putting into your mind, you know, well, you know, I don't believe that there, if there is a God, I don't believe that a God, a loving God as he's supposed to be, would ever put anyone or send anyone to hell. You're right. He doesn't. Man chooses that. Matthew 25, 41, Jesus said, hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm a good person. Well, I know you think you're a good person, but the Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And if you read the Bible, you'll find that Jesus didn't die for good people. Because there's no such thing as a good person. There's only a good God. Satan, oh, listen, he has bamboozled man from the beginning. He has convinced man, fallen man, those that don't know Jesus, he's convinced them that there's no such thing as a future judgment. Loved one, there is. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment if you don't know Christ. One day, if you reject him, don't want him, when you pass this life, you'll stand before him and you will be judged by Jesus Christ himself who sits there. And you will not be able to say a word because you have nothing to say. There'll be a judge, but there'll be no jury. There'll be no appeals. You have no second chances. There's not going to be any more exits. That's it. Jesus died on the cross. Why? 1 John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is? Someone had to pay for sin. I can't pay for it. You can't pay for it. Every lie that I've told or every sin that I've sinned and you've sinned, I can't pay for it. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He has paid our sin debt. It is finished. It stands finished. And it will always be finished because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? That's what it's all about. You see, the purpose of John even writing the gospel that we're in, it is written, he said, the purpose that you might believe upon the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, and through him, by believing, that you might have life, meaning endless life. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's not another name under heaven by which a man can be saved except the name of Jesus. There's no other way to God. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. Jesus said, he who believes in me, even though you haven't seen him, he says, I'll give you everlasting life. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. When I talk with people outside their church and I know they don't know the Lord, yeah, I try to win them to Christ with all my heart. And I always tell them, I say, please don't procrastinate. Don't say tomorrow. Tomorrow is devil's favorite word. Come to Christ now. And if you don't come to Christ, maybe you won't ever come to Christ and you will regret it forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen to me. Maybe this morning you say, Bill, I do need a new beginning. Well, if you need a new beginning, listen to me. You have to have a new Lord. And his name is Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ, I beg you in Christ's name, please don't be bamboozled out of eternal life, out of the forgiveness of sins, out of having the love of God reign and rule in your heart. Don't be bamboozled out of knowing that Jesus really is real. He really loves you. He'll never condemn you. He is there to set you free. And he promised that he would never leave you, no, not one day of your life. Well, Bill, what does that take? It takes one thing. One thing. It takes a believing heart. Just a believing heart. If you're here this morning in Jesus Christ on this resurrection day, if you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life, today's the day for you to do so. as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around. If you do not know Christ Jesus, listen to me carefully. You know, I'm not here to ask you to join this church or join any church. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a living relationship with a living Savior. Come to Him. You say, well, Bill, how do I really do that? If you'll pray this prayer with me and believe it in your heart, God will save you right there in your chair, right where you are, because He died for you, because He loves you. If you don't know Jesus, please don't be bamboozled. You pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, on this Resurrection Sunday, I need a new beginning. I need You to be my Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. Father, You promised if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and believe in my heart, You would save me. I believe. I'm saved right now in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, no one looking around, every Christian praying. You don't have to get out of your chair. All you have to do is say, Bill, I prayed that prayer. Every head is bowed. Just lift your hand up to heaven and say, Bill, yes, I prayed that prayer this morning. Thank You. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. I ask Christ to be the Lord of my life. Any other quickly before we close and pray? God bless you. I see that hand too. God bless you, sir. Anyone? Yes, God bless you back there. I see that hand. Anyone else said, Bill, that's me. I just made Jesus. I just asked Him to come and live in my heart. I'll no longer be bamboozled. Anyone, last call before I pray. Well, Father, we give You praise and glory for the day that You have given unto us. We welcome our brothers and sisters into the kingdom of God, O God. Baptize them, fill them with Your Spirit, be with them all the days of their life. Lord, we welcome them into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. And we should go.